you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, June 7th, 2017. And if you were tuned in yesterday, you're back for some more storytelling. What it is bragging up what God has done. And I appreciate your heart, Brett, that it's not about our abilities. It's not what we think we might be good or efficient or proficient in. It's all about leaning into God and trusting him for great things, and how he chooses to use us is always fascinating to us, because we feel like, Lord, can you really use me? And I bet as you were framing out houses or working, you felt like the Lord was calling you to do something, but you would have never imagined Cambodia, an orphanage, having four children, selling all. And yesterday we didn't get to really talk about it. I'm going to read a verse, but I wrote down that you and your wife had a deeper walk. Okay, Lord, we're going to put it all on the line. We're going to be open. We're going to entertain the idea. You're leading us, so we're yours for the taking. And as you did that, you felt like the next two things were, and I just wrote this as you were talking about a variety of things, but you wanted to stay faithful. You know, that's the key. Just be in the center of his will, stay faithful and be obedient, and he'll work out all the details. And so we'll talk about some of those details. But I began yesterday's program with a passage out of Luke chapter 9, and it's the cost of following Jesus. And many of us are familiar with that passage where, you know, one disciple says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, well, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Then he says to somebody else, follow me. And he has an excuse, and somebody else, well, I have to go do this with my family, or I have to bury the dead. And Jesus ends up with this parable saying, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. It's a powerful, packed passage, but it's one that the Lord really stirred in your heart some years ago and brings it to mind even to this day, that you are called for this unique mission work, this unique service in Cambodia, which you would have never imagined before, but it's where he has you. You're working with an orphanage, you're rescuing children, you're training them up in the Bible, you oversee, like, I think 430 or so students, and the orphanage has 40 or so individuals, ranging from, I think he's mentioned yesterday, like a 13-month-old or a youngster to maybe 18. And I think there's even a 21-year-old that had cancer. And so there's a lot of stories to tell today. And thank you, Huey, for introducing Brett to me. You were really moved some weeks ago, and you called me up and said, Mark, I got somebody for the morning program. You'll love this guy. He sold everything. He has a heart for the Lord. He has unique stories of being used by God. Can we meet up? And Huey, as the Roman radio reporter for Great News Radio and just a dear friend, I always trust his judgment, and I was not disappointed with yesterday's program. And what was one of your takeaways after you heard some of what Brett had to say and his heart for serving those in Cambodia, which is a place that most of us would never even think about going to?
Absolutely. We would not want to go to Cambodia from what we know about it and the horror stories of Cambodia. But there is light there. One reason is Brett and Susan are there, and they're leading this school and they're leading this orphanage. But one of the many things that's impressed me, because I'm always impressed by people who have a genuine faith in Jesus Christ, was that in hearing their stories, that they're working class people. They didn't go to college. They got married. They started working. They had many tremendous things that happened, you know, through the miraculous power of God in their lives. But what they're doing now in directing a school for, you know, like you said, hundreds of children, and directing an orphanage, is something that we would more associate with someone with maybe with a PhD or something like this, but it takes us back to the Bible. Jesus went to the fishermen and said, be my disciples, mm-hmm. follow me. And what did they do? They dropped their nets, they left their boats, and they followed him, and he made the greatest disciples out of them. And then what I saw in Brett and Susan is the exact same kind of people, that they're humble people, they're hardworking people, they're brilliant people, but they didn't have the credentials that the world regards as brilliant. They just had the brilliance of the minds of Christ.
Or they weren't like sons of pastors and had a whole lineage of, you know, our grandfather served overseas and our father served overseas. In fact, yesterday we touched on it, and I should mention, if you missed the program yesterday, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, under our archive programs link, so you can hear that. And we'll mention on the front end of the program and then again at the end, if you want to find out more about the ministry and help support, whether it's the orphanage or for Brett and Susan, their missionaries in Cambodia, you can stop by trainupkids.org, just train, T-R-A-I-N, trainupkids.org, and you can scroll around and find out more information, the specific work they're doing, and how they oversee this orphanage and how God has led them these many years. They grew up just across the border in Indiana. Shout out for our Indiana listeners. We have a lot of great friends in Indiana, and we didn't get to talk about some of your upbringing, and we want to talk the preponderance of this program about the work that you're doing, but I think you said you grew up in the Christian Reformed Church. Your wife was Catholic and then Methodist. So when did you both have a sense that God was real, that God loved you, that you were sinners saved by grace? When did Jesus become a part of your life? Because I think it was around 2021 where, you know, you mentioned this yesterday, where you kind of began feeling a calling. But was there a personal relationship growing before then, or what was that progression of your faith journey?
Well, absolutely. My wife and I, we were married for 1 year, and we were serving in that local church, Christian Reformed Church. My wife agreed to serve under my church, so we were serving there. But we still just weren't satisfied. Mm-hmm. God just had more for us. And we went to a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting. Mm-hmm. And through that meeting, we heard testimonies of businessmen that gave their life to the Lord. And we stood together that night after 1 year of marriage and surrendered our life together as one to God. And through that, we started to serve God in a deeper, greater way. Mm-hmm. And it was more of a personal relationship at that point than just an everyday serving. So because of that personal relationship, we became very faithful to God, very faithful to the church, very faithful to each other, very faithful even to the Word of God. And because of our faithfulness, God started speaking to us. And through that speaking to us, we started hearing the direction, what God had for us. And that's the way it is, because, see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by doing. And because of our faithfulness, and it wasn't something that we just mustered up. See, my father actually taught me faithfulness. He taught me to go to work on time. He taught me to call in when you're sick. He taught me to be in church Sunday morning, because that's what Christians do. So because of the faithfulness that my father showed us as an example, I was able to carry that but into the relationship with God. And I even had a pastor that tell me, see, God will take a faithful man and make him able. But God cannot take that able man and make him faithful. Mm-hmm. So I believe that the faithfulness leads to your obedience with God as well.
And some of that faithfulness maybe provided the structure or the ability to work within certain walls or boundaries, but it was that personal relationship. And for the listener that's like, what do you mean a relationship with God? Do you hear voices? What does that look like? I believe there's some being out there, or I believe something created the universe, but are you saying you can have a relationship? You can talk or communicate with him? Are you saying that he might even delight or like you or answer your prayers? What does that look like?
Well, absolutely. Because, see, God loves us. God created us. And he created us to have a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. He created us that we would have commune with him. And that comes through the Word of God. See, the Word of God is alive. The Bible is alive. When we give ourselves and surrender ourselves to His Word and read His Word, the Holy Spirit speaks through His Word to us. Because, see, the Word of God is God's Word. And that's how He communicates through us. But He also communicated to us through dreams. And He's also communicated us through the preaching of the Word on a Sunday. God has used many, many people in our lives. But because of our relationship with God in the beginning, we were able to continue those tracks of journeys.
And you probably had that modeled to you by other believers, other Christians. But what would you say to the person that's maybe driving along, they're on their way to work, they're scanning the dial, and they're like, what's all this God talk? I mean, how do you begin a relationship? I've never entertained that there's somebody, there's a higher power that really, truly cares for me.
How would you start any relationship? Mm-hmm. You just start by speaking it. And if you're alone in your car at this moment, just speak out to God and say, God, I desire to have a relationship mm-hmm. with you. I desire to know you in a greater way, just like Brett and Susan did. Mm-hmm. I desire to follow you in what you have for us. Where we make a lot of our mistakes is we start following the church or we start following the man, and those are going to fail you. The church failed me in many different ways as we were on this journey. But see, it was because of the relationship I had with God, that faithfulness I had with God, it took me through those times. And sometimes they were just things that I was taking upon myself, and it really wasn't the church. I was just trying to find someone to blame. But a lot of times we run from the relationship with God because of the church or because of what somebody said to you. And that's not the relationship. Your relationship with God is personal.
Yeah.
It's between you and Him.
And when you understand God's true character, that He's perfect, that He's loving, full of grace, full of mercy. Yes, He's righteous. Yes, He's sovereign. And yet He extends to all of us love and care and compassion and wants to bring healing and hope. And Huey, you've seen that through these two. They radiate the love of Christ. And you know about the effective ministry they're having in Cambodia. And you were really touched. You said, Mark, you got to have this guy on because you saw, if you will, and there's no one common in God's economy, but you said, Huey, you saw these two folks, common, everyday, ordinary, blue-collar workers that sold everything and gave all and went to Cambodia and remain there to this day. And that really touched you. And then the work that they're doing with the orphanage and teaching Bible classes to these 430 or so students, that was really touching and moving for you.
I mean, they're shining examples of what real faith is. They didn't say, I have a great plan, God. Please help me to fulfill the plan that I just came up with. They said, God, what is your plan for me? And let's see if you could be faithful to us to fulfill the plan you have for our lives. So I see that they are fulfilling the scripture that says that they were specifically created for specific works, that they would walk in them. That's in Ephesians 2 and 8. That I could see that they're shining examples of what genuine faith is. And I'm believing that God has been faithful to you, that that's the heart and soul of why your ministry has been effective and successful.
Absolutely. God has been so faithful to us. He's been so faithful even to my children that have grown on and were separated from. But see, it hasn't all been easy.
Separated from because of distance. Time away.
Yeah, halfway around the world.
Yes, they're very much in love and supportive and praying you up each and every day.
Absolutely. My children understand what we're doing. They're supporting us. And we just believe in our hearts that God's going to make that time up for us. But what I want to say, it's not always easy. Mm-hmm. And we had to battle through a lot of things. Battle through a selling of a house. When is that house going to sell? Is it going to sell at the proper time? And God was so faithful to me when those things took place. And just the raising of the funds to get to Cambodia. And while we were there, the things that happened with the children at our orphanage. When we became the directors of the orphanage in 2012, we literally had 2 months of provisions. 2 months provisions with 50 children. And because of God's faithfulness to me to get me to that point, we understood that we serve a faithful God. And out of the blue, somebody I never met, never known, but their son had visited Cambodia and went back and shared with their mother what had happened. The mother had put in her will $50,000 for that orphanage. Mm-hmm. See, that's the faithfulness of God. And God called her home at that specific time. And we received that email, and it's just too hard to explain. It's just too hard to explain. But see, God knows. God knows when we need it, when it needs to come, And he does that in our own personal life as well.
Who is it, Huey? Have you read it? Is it Mueller?
George Mueller,
who prayed like, Lord, how am I going to feed him today? And don't you know the milk truck breaks down in front of the orphanage? And then don't you know the baker says, hey, I have these 20 loaves of bread. What am I going to do with it? And donates it. And somebody else comes, I'm supposed to write you a check for $1,000, you know. So yeah. God many times will have us at that point where we're leaning so heavily into him. Unless he does something, it's going to fall apart. And then don't you know there's, you know, this unique gift or answer
right.
to prayer.
But see, I believe that that same spirit that has called my wife and I to surrender all to go to Cambodia is the same spirit that lives in those that have provisions for us to be there. Mm-hmm. And God will speak to you. If you're listening now, God will speak to you as well as he spoke to me. And it's not a verbal voice or anything, but it's a heart thing. It comes from deep within, and you say, I need to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And you can make a difference.
Brad, I would really love it if you could open up a little bit about trafficking. And we've all started to hear in the last several years about sex trafficking and that type of thing. And it's an important topic. We know many girls and women and even boys are preyed upon in this way. You say, and there is some of that trafficking that you've encountered in your ministry.
Absolutely. In Cambodia, there is that realness of the trafficking that goes on there. A lot of it is due to just a developing country. It's a third world country yet, and from the tragedies of the war that has taken them through the 70s all the way up to the 80s, it's still a developing country. They don't have resources for children. And when people have hurting times or bad times, they will sell their children to traffic them into the traffic. If it's for sex trafficking or if it's even for labor trafficking, they will sell their children just to get out of a debt. And we've seen that. We've rescued children from that. We've also rescued them from abuse times where the family members just couldn't handle the child anymore. See, adoption's closed in Cambodia. Foreign countries cannot adopt in Cambodia because they can't keep track of where the children go. And because of that, there's no resources for these children except for an orphanage. And without the orphanage, these children would be very vulnerable to this. We had a baby that came to us from a hospital. He was a newborn baby, just hours old, and the hospital called us and said the mother left in the night. Would you please take this baby? We don't want to be accused of trafficking. Because, see, they'll even sell that baby just to pay the hospital cost. But the owner of the hospital said, we don't want to be involved with that. And they called us. And we said, yes, absolutely, we'll take this child in. So we took this child in, and the dorm moms had him there, and he still had his little umbilical cord on. And the staff looked at us and said, what are you going to name this child? And we thought, oh, that responsibility is given to us. So we said, we're going to name him Timothy. And we named him Timothy. And I left there, and all of a sudden, the reality of taking in a baby that you're going to be responsible for 18 years really hit me. And I thought, oh, God, what did I do? But see, the Spirit of the Lord was doing something in somebody else. Actually, the Bible school teacher at our school, him and his wife both work at our school. They're Cambodian. And they said, we've been desiring to have a baby boy. Can we adopt this son and take him into our home? And we said, absolutely. Through paperwork and through the government, we were able to place this child into a Cambodian Christian home. See, I didn't know that, but the Spirit of the God knew that. And he directed us, and he spoke to my heart and my wife's heart at that time to take that child in. But it was for a different purpose and a different reason. So those are some of the greatest testimonies we were able to share.
And you talked early on about just being obedient. And so many times we go into these situations, if you will, blinded, or we don't know the end from the beginning, but we serve a God who's orchestrating and putting this piece in place. And many times we don't even get to see the end result. But in this case, as you and your wife, Susan, were proven faithful, okay, Lord, we don't know how we're going to raise them, but we got to help. We got to rescue this child. And then God had it all put in motion that there was another couple praying, open, entertaining the idea. We'd love a child, and it all worked out. So
it's amazing. See, a lot of times we're looking through a knothole, through a fence, and we're watching the parade go by. Where God sees the beginning and the end, he sees the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And we just need to be obedient at the time where we feel God is speaking to our hearts. And see, that's where that faith comes in. I mean, you literally walk out into the darkness by the leading of the Lord, and God is there for you.
All right, Great News Radio listeners, you need to stop by this website, trainupkids.org, trainupkids.org, and you can learn how you can support the orphanage, you can support Brett and Susan, or you can maybe get involved in different ways of praying very specifically. I'm sure there's prayer requests. But how about updating us? How can we pray effectively maybe this day or this week or this coming year for you and Susan and the ministry work you're doing there in Cambodia?
Well, you can pray for definitely our family. Mm-hmm. As we're separated from them halfway around the world, it's a hard thing. It's a very difficult thing.
And I'll jump in here for those that weren't tuned in yesterday. You have four children. In fact, one of the reasons you're here in our studios is one of your grandbabies is right here in the greater Champaign-Urbana area. So your son and daughter-in-law live right here, and they serve at the Meadowbrook Church. And your other children are around the country, right?
Around the country. I'm going to have one in Texas, one in Missouri, and one in Indiana. So.
Okay. Okay.
They're all adults.
Praying up the family and then the time that you're away from them and
yes.
the grandchildren.
Yes. And we also ask that you pray for our school, as in July we'll be graduating another class out of that. And most of these children are coming from a Buddhist home. But because we're giving good education, their parents are allowing them to come to our school. And when they come to our school, they get the gospel. They get their Bible courses. So please pray for our school, as we have many challenges there as well.
Now, what's the name of your school?
Scenicville School of Hope. Scenicville School of Hope.
And what's that named after?
Sinuk is the king's name of Cambodia. So Sinukville is the town that we live in. It's in the southern province of Cambodia.
Okay.
And then also our children's home, Scenicville Children's Home. Please continue to pray for the children. Pray for their health, as Cambodia still doesn't have adequate health care there. And because of that, we are relying on maybe even doctors that aren't real educated to help our children. So just pray for the health of our children and our dorm moms as well, our staff. We have a total of 10 at the orphanage and 29 at the school. So we have 39 staff that we care for, and we give them a position there, and we ask that you continue to pray for them to give them strength.
Here we help out closing out our program in prayer, and I'll remind our listeners, stop by trainupkids.org, trainupkids.org, and if you missed a portion of today or yesterday's broadcast, you can go to our website, and if you go to the archive programs link, you can right-click on those programs, paste them into an email, and send them on to a friend, maybe around the country, or somebody that you know that has a heart for Cambodia, or has resources that would like to help and invest in this orphanage and the ministry that Brett and Susan Vandermolen have in Cambodia. So once more, it's trainupkids.org.
Okay. Dear Lord, we pray today for Brett and Susan Vandermolen, for their safety, for their health, for their strength, dear God, that your power would pour through them, dear God, towards the education and the healing and the safety of all these children in the school, in the orphanage, dear God, that you will bring them new souls to come forth into your kingdom, dear Lord, from all these young people, and that you would bring other people into the schools and orphanages, dear God, who would glorify you. We pray for that nation, dear Lord, mm-hmm. for a revival in the nation, that many would turn their hearts towards you. We pray for the Vandermolens, for their children, and for their grandchild, Eden, dear God, that you would bless them all abundantly, keep them under your wings, dear Lord, that you would keep them following you and keep them healthy and strong. In the name of Jesus.
And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Huey. Thank you, Brett, for being a part of today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And thank you, listener, for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
It's all night, all day. Angels watching over me, my Lord. Well, it's all night, all day. Angels watching over me. Well, it's all night, all day. Angels watching over me, my Lord. Well, it's all night, all day. Angels watching over me. Well, I went
down